Good afternoon, Thursday Farm News here on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Kara Hart. We'll also hear from Randy Cunnan, Megan Turnquist, and Don Wick reporting from the International Crop Expo in Grand Forks. The U.S. Department of Agriculture is projecting 94 million acres of corn to be planted in 2020, an increase of 5% from last year. Soybean production is forecast to be at 85 million acres, up 12% from 1 year ago. USDA Chief Economist Rob Johansen told Ag Outlook Forum attendees this morning, planting decisions will be impacted by trade expectations and rising input costs.
Current futures prices point to a large U.S. corn crop. The soybean to corn price ratio has dipped to four-year lows. In addition, we know that local demand and transportation costs will drive regional plantings. For example, we see that soybean to corn prices currently favors the planting of more soybeans in the upper Midwest compared to planting more corn in the eastern Corn Belt as well as the southeastern part of the United States.
The USDA is forecasting soybean prices to increase and corn prices to drop in 2020.
That soybean prices will rise modestly up a nickel to $8.80 a bushel this coming year, supported by lower stocks compared to last year's record level. In contrast, corn is expected to decline 25 cents to $3.60 a bushel, with larger corn acres and expected return to trend yields. Wheat prices are expected up 35 cents to $4.90 a bushel, reflecting low ending stocks.
And Johansen talked about the ag export outlook, expected to rise $4 billion in 2020. Allendale Chief Strategist Rich Nelson says grain traders are a little disappointed with the Ag Outlook Forum numbers.
You know, the trade was maybe looking for a little surprise on the acreage discussion for USDA's first day of its two-day-long Outlook Conference called the Ag Forum. They suggested 4.3 million acres higher on corn and 8.9 million acres on soybeans. Those numbers were pretty much right on the private market analyst trade expectations. One thing that trade is a little disappointed about is USDA did not really consider much of a China trade buying story in their numbers here today, and also likely won't tomorrow. So we're a little concerned that perhaps these numbers are not exactly realistic.
And Nelson continues on what the trade could expect to hear from USDA tomorrow.
And one thing that that Sonny Perdue did mention here today is that they would not factor all of a trade deal involved with the export numbers. And also, you can compute out the acreage they gave us today as well as the price they gave us today. And keep in mind, they didn't give us supply or demand numbers. But based on those two measurements, we can certainly say they are not really adding too much in there.
This morning, Agriculture Secretary Sonny Perdue did announce an ag innovation agenda for the U.S. Department of Agriculture at the Ag Outlook Forum. The agenda focused on food waste, greenhouse gases, and water quality and renewable energy. And moving forward, USDA will strive for carbon sequestration enhancement through soil health and forestry, and a reduction in nutrient loss by 30% across the country by 2050. The USDA will also look to increase the production of renewable energy feedstocks. Agriculture Secretary Sonny Perdue.
The good news is it's essentially what the story of American agriculture is doing much, much more with much, much less. And that's what we want to talk about as we go forward.
Weather was one of the featured seminars at the International Crop Expo this morning. Red River Farm Network's Megan Turnquist has more from the event.
Reporting from the International Crop Expo in Grand Forks, I'm Megan Turnquist on the Red River Farm Network, joined by North Dakota Agricultural Weather Network Director Daryl Richeson. And Daryl, while many farmers are trying to leave 2019 behind, it's still important to talk about the wild weather that happened last fall. And so were there any indications that this was going to happen in the Northern Plains?
I personally had in my forecast that it looked like a wetter than average September. I had told a number of people that. You know, the extreme of that, though, is you just can't forecast that. There's above average, and then there was, you know, really what happened in September through the middle of October last year was what I always reference, you know, as a white bison event, that it's just so far out of the ordinary from anything else that occurred in most areas. You know, in the southern Red River Valley, that wasn't the case. 2008 was actually wet. wetter, but most of North Dakota and Minnesota, really, it was, you know, really unique in the record books. But, you know, the record books only go back, you know, about some anywhere from 50 to 130 years, depending on the location. But, yeah, it was a very unique, and the odds are we won't see anything like it again for a long time.
So as farmers move deeper into 2020 and the snow continues to pile up, what does that mean when it comes to flooding concerns?
That last day of November 30th and a couple of days after Christmas really are the only two snowstorms we've had this year. And otherwise, it's been very dry pattern since November. So on paper, yeah, we're going to finish winter a little bit above average, but not by much, just a few tenths, mainly again because of, you know, those two events were all of it. But I go, think about it, pattern is actually much drier than it was. Outside of that, going forward is that we will probably be very similar to, I think, average. The analog package, the previous years that I'm using, are a smidge above average, but not by much. So it's really an average, just slightly wetter than average. But because of those two snowstorms, we do have a lot of snow, especially in the Red River Valley. That has to melt. That's at least a two-week process going forward. And so we're not talking probably any removal of the snow totally until we get into April. So that sets us a little bit behind most years.
Again, Daryl Richeson with NDON reporting from the International Crop Expo. I'm Megan Turnquist.
Thanks, Megan. North Dakota Senator John Hoeven met with agricultural groups in Fargo this morning to review trade and disaster aid. North Dakota producers received $1.13 billion in the Market Facilitation Program payments in 2018 and 2019, and there was also an update again on that disaster assistance and sign up for Farm Bill commodity programs. In 2019, farm bankruptcies increased 24%. During this morning's Ag Outlook Forum, USDA said North Dakota was one of three states reporting particularly high bankruptcy rates. Debt-to-asset ratios are the highest since 2003. USDA also says a growing portion of U.S. corn, soybean, and hog farmers are burdened by debt-to-asset ratios greater than 70%. This is the Red River Farm Network. Farm news here on the Red River Farm Network. Red River Farm Network's Don Wick has more from the International Crop Expo.
After the past year and a half, farmers have learned they need a Plan A, Plan B, and Plan C as they prepare for this spring. Helena Agri Enterprises sales representative Tim Stanislawski says logistics could be an issue.
You know, I think one way, Don, is making sure that, you know, we kind of feed throughout the season with nitrogen. You know, and what I mean by that is, you know, starting with a good amount of starter fertilizer or, you know, application in the beginning, and then throughout the season, kind of spoon feeding, you know, with some kind of nutrients of what you have, you know, if it's nitrogen or if it's phosphate or something that's going through the plant or making it readily available that come through the roots.
Stanislawski says a fresh perspective on fertility may be warranted.
You know, this spring is going to be busy. There's no doubt about it. Getting, you know, planning is going to be huge. And, you know, if a person calls in for some fertilizer or some chemical or something one day, you know, it might take a day or two to get some of this stuff just because of the planning and stuff that needs to be done. So, I mean, that's one thing a person's just going to have to go, you know, and do is, you know, once we start, it's going to be issues, I'm sure.
Helena is part of the International Crop Expo underway in Grand Forks. Reporting for the Red River Farm Network, I'm Don Wick.
Thanks, Don. Grain storage was the focus of one of the seminars at the International Crop Expo. Randy Conan has more.
Yeah, we're here at the International Crop Expo visiting with Ken Hallowang. And Ken, we've talked about bin safety and everything with Bin Safety Week going on. But this is the time of year we need to really start stepping up our management of those grain bins.
Absolutely. Now we're starting to see temperatures outside hopefully start warming up. That means then the grain temperatures might be moderating as well, which then leads to more potential for spoilage. So I say now is the decision time. We need to look at the moisture content of the grain, determine what our drying options are, and then make sure that we're monitoring the quality of that grain so that we can manage the stored grain until we do dry it.
A lot of that grain went in the bins less than ideal conditions last fall. Does that change up how we do things a little bit?
Absolutely. We're looking at a lot of wet grain in storage, and that impacts us in two ways. One, it greatly increases the potential for grain entrapment and other safety issues, so we need to be aware of those as we're working around the bin. But when we have wet grain and warming temperatures, we're going to see more deterioration happen much quicker this year likely than what we would in a typical year.
And again, that brings in management. We need to be watching those bins closely.
Right, and it's the time of year where we'd like to be focused on selecting the right varieties and getting ready for this year. Unfortunately, we've got a lot of grain from last year that we're still dealing with, and how we work with that over the next days to weeks is really going to impact the quality and the value that we have.
One of the things, too, that you brought home here in your presentation, and I think a lot of people realize we've got some solar radiation going on, but I don't think they realize how much.
Right. It's nice when the sun is melting the snow, but we forget just how much warming is going to occur on the south wall of the bin and on the roof. And in my presentation, I cover that we're actually seeing twice as much solar energy on the south wall of a bin now as will occur in June. Now, that's partly because of the solar angle, but there is a lot of heat hitting that south wall. It's important that we be monitoring the temperature at the top of the bin and along that south wall, and maybe running the fans to keep that grain cool.
NDSU Extension Ag Engineer Dr. Ken Hallevang. We're here at the International Crop Expo. I'm Randy Conan.
Thanks, Randy. The National Pork Producers Council and 30 state pork producer associations are asking Ag Secretary Sonny Perdue to take additional prevention measures on African swine fever. The groups want the USDA to restrict imports of organic soy products for animal feed from all ASF-positive countries. This is the Red River Farm Network. Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. It can be difficult to talk to others when things aren't going well. Rural mental health was a focus as the Minnesota House Agriculture, Food, Finance, and Policy Division met this morning. Minnesota Department of Agriculture, Marketing, and Development's Meg Moynihan answered many questions, including this one on community safe talk discussions.
Safe talk is about recognizing and responding and learning to say the word suicide, and learning to say the word kill yourself and ask those questions in an honest way so that the person who's maybe contemplating that feels like they will be heard and they will be respected for the challenge that they're facing, and that this is somebody they could trust to say, this is serious. We need to find some help because this is a real situation.
Rural mental health specialist Monica McConkie told lawmakers the two state specialists are doing what they can to give rural communities tools to help others during these tough times.
There are some things in the works to really address that, and that would remove a barrier potentially in our rural communities to open up some access when Ted and I just aren't enough and when we can't get there.
As the 2020 crop production season nears, USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service is contacting farmers across the country. The survey comes via mail and asks about the types of crops and how many acres they intend to plant. It also asks about the amount of grains and oilseeds stored on the farm. Farmers can respond either via email or online. The results will be compiled for the March 31st prospective plantings and quarterly grain stocks report. Taking a look at the numbers before we leave you this afternoon, March Minneapolis wheat down 6.5 at 529.75. March Chicago wheat down 5.75 at 559.5. March Kansas City wheat down 6.5. March corn down 1.75 at 378.75. December corn down 2.5 at 388.25. March beans down 4.25 at 893.25. November beans down 5.75 at 917.25. In livestock markets, February live cattle down $1.12 at 120.17. April down $1.57. March feeder cattle up 7 cents at 140.85. April lean hogs down 85 cents at 66.72. This is the Red River Farm Network.